Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, this week in New York at the United Nations, the Walk Free Foundation, that was established by Australian philanthropist Andrew Twiggy Forrest and his daughter Grace, released their 2018 Global Slavery Index. It makes shocking reading. One of the surprising findings is that 15,000 people are estimated to be living in modern slavery right here in Australia. Yes, 15,000 people amongst us in Australia right now. It also reveals that Australia imports over $12 billion of at-risk goods annually. So those are goods that are sourced from countries where the supply chain may well include modern slavery. That's in a variety of industries too. Technology, of course, you might expect that, but also garments, fish, rice, cocoa, and other manufactured goods. Until the Walk Free Foundation started making these estimates, no one else was collecting these statistics. What a contribution they're making. Their methodology is face-to-face interviews. For the 2018 survey, they spoke to 70,000 respondents, yes, 70,000 respondents in 48 countries. The information they received helped them to build a picture of modern slavery occurring in something like 79 countries around the globe. Well, Jackie Judo Larson is the head of research for the Global Slavery Index, and I spoke with her in New York.
Thanks very much for having me.
Look, before we get into the numbers, congratulations on the report. It's an amazing piece of work. I just wonder, when you were at university, you know, when you were studying, did you ever imagine you'd be doing something that was so powerful, that hadn't been done in this way before, that would literally be focusing on this problem of global human slavery?
No, I absolutely would not have imagined that I would be working on this at this point in time. And I feel incredibly proud of the work that we've all done and very, very privileged to be able to work on something as important as this.
But just to underline how that works, this is an Australian work from the Australian mining magnate, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Andrew Forrest and his wife. Their foundation has funded this. What's their concern? Why are they doing this?
Well, they actually came to the issue through their daughter, Grace, who was volunteering when she was still in high school, and she was volunteering with an orphanage in Nepal. Once she returned home, she wanted her parents to see, you know, the children that she'd been working with, and they travelled there together to, you know, learn more about the orphanage. And Grace actually discovered upon her return that many of those children that she'd previously worked with had actually been trafficked. And I guess that's when the issue became very real and quite shocking. And since then, you know, it's grown into the Walk Free Foundation. And now we have the fourth edition of the Global Slavery Index.
Well, people like Andrew Forrest could choose to do anything with his wealth, but he chooses to use it in this amazing way. So, look, pass on our congratulations and thanks to him also. And how did you come to the work?
I actually came to it through my time at the Australian Institute of Criminology, where I worked on the people trafficking program. And for me at the time, it just seemed so shocking that this was happening in Australia. I remember being quite surprised about it.
Yes. Well, let's leap into the report itself. The headlines, I guess, are that modern slavery is an even bigger problem than we thought worldwide, and in some respects, is it fair to say we're all partly responsible?
Yes, it is fair to say that. So it's, and in some ways, what we're seeing over time with our work on this issue is that we're getting much better at measuring it. At this stage, it's difficult to say whether it's increasing or not, and largely that's just because we're getting our measures are far more accurate than they have been in the past. What we do know is that there are 40.3 million men, women and children living in modern slavery, and we find that modern slavery occurs in every region, both in developing countries and in some of the wealthiest nations in the world.
Give me your definition of modern slavery, the one that you're using for this research.
Modern slavery is an umbrella term that we use, but it covers a range of forms that have different international definitions. And essentially it covers off things like human trafficking, forced labour, forced marriage, organ trafficking, among many others. But at its essence, it is about people being denied their freedom and being exploited by others.
Now, how did you collect your statistics? You say that each year, or each time you do this, you're improving the results. That firstly makes it a little hard to compare year to year, but that's okay. You're establishing a methodology here for something that hasn't actually been done before, which is incredible in its own right. But what is the method that you've used to compile these numbers?
The improved measures of modern slavery were made possible because we've actually extended our existing survey program, which is the largest of its kind in the world.
Yeah.
So we have nearly doubled the number of countries that were previously surveyed, and we currently draw on face-to-face interviews with over 70,000 respondents across 48 countries.
Wow. Just dwell on that for a moment. Face-to-face interviews with 70,000 people across, what did you say, 48 countries?
Across 48 countries. And as part of that, you know, we learn a lot about the experiences of slavery among that sample of people. And so although we survey in 48 countries, we have information about men, women and children who have been exploited in 79 countries.
Jackie, what are some of the stories that stick with you?
Something that I feel very privileged about in this role is having the opportunity to speak to victims directly in many different parts of the world. And several years ago, we were involved in some work with the International Organization for Migration, and we interviewed women who had worked as domestic workers in various countries in the Gulf. We interviewed women in the Philippines and in Ethiopia, and their accounts of what they encountered were very harrowing, very compelling, but the women themselves showed incredible resilience. And those sorts of stories are what stick with us. These are women who have sought opportunities overseas in order to provide for their families at home. They accept jobs. You know, they agree to specific conditions. They head overseas, find that everything changes on arrival. They often experience severe forms of exploitation. They experience violence, both physical and sexual. And yet, you know, although they tell us their stories and they share it in the hopes that other victims will not end up in the same position or will be a bit better informed than they were, they're incredibly strong people who've come through the other end, and it's people like that who really propel us to do the work that we do.
Yes.
It goes far beyond the numbers. I think if we focus purely on these numbers, 40.3 million is huge, and it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that we're talking about personal accounts and real people who are experiencing horrific things on a daily basis.
Yes. The stories that you've spoken about of women accepting jobs overseas and finding themselves something very different when they get there, in some respects, that's probably at the headline of what people would understand about modern slavery, but it's deeper than that. You've highlighted some industries people might not originally think of in the report. For example, you've highlighted the fishing industry. Talk to us about that.
Well, what we find is that slavery occurs in many industries. And in Australia in particular, we know that it occurs in agriculture, construction, meat processing, hospitality and food services, the sex industry, and cleaning and domestic work as well. In terms of fishing, much of the tuna, for example, that is imported into Australia comes from Thailand, and there are extensive reports out there about the Thai fishing sector and the high levels of exploitation that are occurring throughout that. It can be incredibly difficult to police where it's happening so far offshore that it's beyond the ability of labour inspectors to have oversight over what's going on there. But there's some incredibly important work going on in that space.
Our guest is Jackie Judo Larson, the head of research for the Global Slavery Index, released by the Andrew Forrest Foundation in one of its forms in the United Nations just in the last few days. Well, you've mentioned supply chain issues there, so let's go to that. You've spoken about some of the fish that's sold in Australia being sourced from industries where modern slavery is taking place. But it goes well beyond that in Australia and globally. I guess one of the big spotlights these days is on technology, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. What we've had a look at recently is among the G20 countries, and we've done an analysis of the value of at-risk products that are being imported into those countries, and globally there are $354 billion worth of products that are considered to be at risk of modern slavery. Now, it's important to note that there's no single product that's entirely derived from modern slavery, but, you know, there are varying levels of this and it's incredibly difficult to quantify that. But the fact is that the potential is there for it to be running through supply chains of many products that people just wouldn't recognise. Australia actually is eighth highest in terms of among G20 countries, in terms of the value of at-risk products that are being imported.
What's the value in Australia of the at-risk products?
So Australia imports about $12 billion of at-risk products, and this includes about $7 billion US of laptops, computers and mobile phones, which are coming from China and Malaysia.
That's a pretty sizable proportion of the technology and other products that we sell in this country. $12 billion a year, did you say?
Yes, that's right. It is huge. The scale of it is actually quite mind-boggling. And essentially, you know, what our analysis is showing, it's proving what we've all long suspected, that while the number of people in modern slavery is generally lower in developed countries due to stronger government responses and lower levels of risk, globalisation has led to the exploitation of cheap labour in developing countries. And this is evidence that it ends up in supply chains of products that are imported into many developed nations, including Australia. And essentially, every business and government is at risk of modern slavery in their global supply chains.
Yes, and it's not an easy matter to unravel something like that. There is a modern slavery bill proposed for Australia. We're one of the countries in the world that doesn't yet have one. There is a bill. A bill has been passed successfully in New South Wales, but that was the first, and that was only this year. Would that bill, as it's proposed, go far enough to, as I understand it, start to identify supply chain issues for companies?
The Modern Slavery Act, which is expected to be passed by the end of this year, actually will make Australia a global leader in engaging with business and responding to modern slavery and supply chains. It's an incredibly important step towards ensuring supply chains are free from modern slavery. And Australia would then be one of very few G20 countries who do have supply chain transparency laws. Currently, there are only 7 G20 countries that do.
Yes.
What has been proposed is an excellent first step. Essentially, it builds on the UK legislation, which in many ways has seemed to be a bit of a world leader. But what we have been advocating for is that the Australian Modern Slavery Act takes a broader approach than the UK did and goes beyond reporting requirements. We've also been advocating for the establishment of an independent anti-slavery commissioner who would be tasked with overseeing a coordinated response as well, which is quite important. It would mean that businesses will have to look a bit more closely at their supply chains. And we certainly do a lot of work with business as well across other areas of Walk Free. So there is a growing appetite there to really take these issues quite seriously. So it's an incredibly positive situation and we've come a long way in a short time. But essentially the problem goes beyond just business and government. While they play incredibly important roles, there's also a role for consumers in this. And this can start as simply as becoming more aware of what you buy and asking where it comes from.
On Open House, we're speaking with Jackie Judo-Larsen, Head of Research for the Global Slavery Index. We've spoken about the supply chain for stuff that we buy every day, use every day. Let's come right back home. Australia is down the bottom of countries. This is the encouraging part for us, I guess. It's on a per capita basis, down the bottom of nations where your research found global slavery. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We estimate about 15,000 people are living in modern slavery in Australia, and that equates to about one person in every 1,700.
Yes, so while it's great news for us as a country, we're down number 130-something in 136, whatever it is, but it's not great news for those 15,000 people. So that's one in every 1,700 people. Think about 1,700 people at a sporting event. For every 1,700 of those, one of them will be in slavery in Australia, in our country.
Yes, and exactly. And I mean, it's really hard to wrap your mind around that, knowing, that we do live in a very lucky country. And I guess from our perspective, we're very firmly of the view that even one person in slavery is too many. And so 15,000 in a country like Australia is really something that we need to act on.
So, Jackie, you said earlier that we'd find them in agriculture, in construction, in meat, in cleaning, in food processing, those kinds of industries. I imagine that will shock a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it certainly will. We just don't expect to see this in Australia. Even earlier this year, there were reports of domestic workers having been forced to work within diplomatic households in Canberra. And according to the report, their passports were withheld, they worked excessive hours, earned low wages, were threatened, their families were also threatened, and their movement was restricted. Several years ago, there were migrant workers found in market gardens in Western Australia. So, where Walk Free is located, that were in similar situations as what seemed to amount to forced labour. So I guess what we're learning is that if you look for it, you will find it. And the next question is what we do about it and understanding better who is vulnerable to modern slavery.
Now, the Modern Slavery Act in the federal parliament, if it's passed, it has a threshold, so you're not necessarily going to pick up market gardens and small processing factories and so on. And yet, people in the community will know others who fit into this category, I imagine. What should they be doing?
Yes. Well, absolutely. They would know of it, and even if they weren't entirely sure what to call it, they would probably see conditions that they think are not quite right. And we certainly think that it's important to contact authorities if you have suspicions about things like that. There are also several organisations across Australia who work in this space, including Anti-Slavery Australia and the Salvation Army, who've been doing some incredibly powerful work with victims of modern slavery in Australia. But certainly it's a case of if you do see something that doesn't seem quite right, it's important to try and report that.
Yes, it is indeed. Jackie, what do you hope will happen now that this very important report has been released in the US or on the global stage at the UN?
Yes, well, I think one of the key things is that we keep the focus on this issue. There's a lot going on in the world today, all of which is very important, but we don't want to lose sight of the lives of people who are being affected by this issue every single day. And I think what's really clear in our report is that this is not a problem that occurs only in the developing world. This is very much a problem that is on our shores as well, and that all countries have a responsibility to act on it, and that beyond that, it's not about just government and business, but it's about what we as consumers can do, however small, to address what we can in our own lives. And, I guess while the scale of the problem can seem really daunting, for me, the good news is that this is entirely a man-made problem, and that means that we can actually put an end to it.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for being with us, and thanks for the work that you do.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jackie Judo-Larson, she's the research director for that study. GlobalSlaveryIndex.org, if you'd like to go and have a look at that detailed study and the 2018 report released in New York at the UN just a couple of days ago, and you'll find the so-called highlights, or certainly the key findings there listed right on the front page. GlobalSlaveryIndex.org. It's very important that we grab hold of this issue, and I'd have to say, before the Andrew Forrest Walk Free Foundation set its mind to it, no one else was working on this problem in this way at a global level. Now, there are a number of theories of change around, and many of them start with this idea that you have to demonstrate that there is a profound problem that needs to be dealt with. Well, no one had actually quantified that problem before Andrew Forrest and his wife, Nicole, put their minds to doing that through their foundation. And you heard why that occurred, because of experiences that their daughter had when she visited girls in Nepal. So he's definitely demonstrating at a global level what the size of that problem is. And the next thing is to build a powerful coalition. This is Cotter's Eight Steps of Change, if you recognize this. Cotter from the Harvard Business School. But building a powerful coalition is one of the steps. That's what they're doing as well. And that's you and me. We can be part of this powerful coalition. We need to change the way we buy things. We need to change the way we think about what we're purchasing and from whom we're purchasing it, and how we relate to our retailers and manufacturers. We ought to be asking those retailers and manufacturers to show that they're not sourcing their products from countries where people's labour is being exploited, where their freedom has been taken away. And if the modern slavery bill passes through the federal parliament this year, then it will set up a system whereby those large companies will report on their supply chain, and also put in place a slavery commissioner. They've just established that in New South Wales, or at least they've passed the legislation in New South Wales. A federal system would, of course, be much broader and more useful than that. But look, no criticism of the New South Wales CDP party for being the first to get that through the parliament. So if you'd like to find out more, as I say, globalslaveryindex.org.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.